He is risen. Let's go, man. I got to see those videos multiple times and I become more of a mess every time. I think one of the reasons is because I remember when one of those fathers gave his life to Christ and was baptized, and now to watch his adopted son follow. The resurrection changes everything. You know, there's some statements in life that we have no problem forgetting. I remember one morning we woke our kids up. They were still very small. We woke them up, set them on the couch, and we looked at them and said, "Hey, kids, we're going to Disney World today." They didn't forget that moment, because for the rest of the day, going through the airport all day long, they did not forget that they were going to Disney World. In fact, they kept asking and asking, "Well, guys, when you go to sleep, you're going to be at Disney World." They never forgot it, because there's some statements that you just don't forget, especially as a kid. But then there's some statements that they have no problem forgetting. Parents, come on with me. Clean your room. They can forget that. Take out the trash. They forget that statement all the time. One of my new ones that I'm finding out is I feel like in middle school, the kids go to school and they all join this club and they're like, "Listen, here's what we're gonna do. We're never gonna wear a coat no matter how cold it is." And so they jump in and so wear your coat, and your kids, they can't remember these statements. And it's like, you could die and they don't care. Like, they just forget these statements. And look, we could like harass kids all day, but you know, as adults, we have these things too, right? And what's interesting is it's true also in our spiritual lives. For those of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ, when we were saved, the most impactful statement was spoken of us in the gospel. It says, "You're forgiven. You are a son. You're a daughter of God. You are made new." Like, this is a powerful statement that the gospel proclaims over us. But in our human weakness, can we just be honest enough in this room that sometimes we forget? Sometimes we just forget, "Oh my goodness, the God of all creation forgives me. He made a way for me. He can make me new." Because we can, in our human weakness, sometimes we just forget the power of God. And this morning, we're going to celebrate the resurrection. We're going to look into Mark and see what's powerful there. But I think if you've ever looked at the story of the gospel and been in awe of it, but still been aware of your own human weakness, the way Mark talks about it today is going to be very encouraging for you. So if you've been with us, we've been in Mark for a very long time and we're wrapping it up today. And here's been a prominent statement over the book of Mark. The statement is this: Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King. He is the Messiah. And now we're gonna see him unfold the last act where he actually shows why he deserves to be King in the death and resurrection. But I wanna remind you of where we've been, because he's been unrolling this plan of him being the King for a very long time. All the way back in chapter 1, we saw him doing miracles that only a king could do, casting out demons, healing people physically. He's taught parables. He said, he's showed us what his kingdom is like through his teaching. And then there's this really interesting thing. He teaches them exactly how it's going to happen. He calls a shot three different times with the disciples. He's looking them in the eyes, and three different times he says almost the exact same thing. There's three chapters in a row. Mark chapter 9, he looks at them and says, "Hey guys, I'm going to have to be killed, crucified. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise again." Peter doesn't understand. He's like, "No, God, you got that wrong. That's not how this is going to go down." And Jesus actually has to rebuke Peter. Chapter 10, Jesus comes back and goes, "Hey, I wasn't joking. There's a crucifixion. I'm going to be killed. And then I'm going to rise again 3 days later." He's calling his shot. And the disciples, they're so dumbfounded by the situation, they kind of just walk away going, "Yeah, we're not really sure what to do with that. Let's just walk along." And then chapter 10, 8, 9, and then in chapter 10, he says the exact same thing. This time he says, "The Son of Man will be mocked and spit on and killed. And in 3 days, he will rise again." And this time, James and John, they don't really know what to do with that. And they're like, "Well, we're not sure what you're going to do, but I want to take care of myself. So Jesus, can I have a prominent position in your kingdom?" And it's almost like Jesus is rolling his eyes going, "Do you guys never going to get it?" He's unrolling his plan. And the events he called his shot, the events are actually now taking place. And we saw on Good Friday that the crucifixion happened. What physically happened is him is that his heart beat and he was dead. And what spiritually was happening is that all of our sins, look at this room, all of the sins, all the mistakes were laid on him and put on him. And then he was buried. The scripture wants to make sure that we know that it wasn't just a moment on a tree, but this guy named Joseph of Arimathea grabs the body and takes it and puts it behind a very heavy tomb, and he buried it just as the Jewish tradition would say, the same day that he died, which was Friday. His plan, this plan of God for Jesus to become the King of all kings, is in full motion. It's almost like we're at halftime at this point. He's died, he's been buried, and now we get to press in and see what happens with his prediction that he clearly told his disciples three times what was going to happen. We're going to see in their human weakness, even though he said it, even though they should have remembered it, they really struggle to understand. They had seen the miracles, heard the teaching, and looked him right in the eyes when he said, I'm going to die and in 3 days rise again. And so we're going to see what happened is similar to what's happened in all of Mark, is the disciples are going to see it, but they don't see it. They miss it. Their weakness is very strong because the 12 disciples in the midst of this plan, they deserted Jesus, Mark says. And there's only a few women followers who were always traveling with Jesus who were there. And they're actually off in the distance and they watch the crucifixion. And then they watch where Joseph of Arimathea buried the body. And then we come back in Mark chapter 16, we find out what they're going to do. Verse 1, read this with me. And when the Sabbath was over, so he was buried on Friday, Sabbath is Saturday, and when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us? They knew how heavy it was. And we see these women, and it actually seems pretty admirable. They're going to care for their friend. Jesus has just been crucified in a public display that was only for criminals. And in their admiration, they want to go be fully devoted to Jesus and care for his body. And it seems admirable. But at the same time, if we're honest, in their human weakness, we're seeing a lack of faith. They completely missed it. Jesus told them, hey, I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. They don't need to anoint the body. There's no need for that. He's going to die, and he told them, I will resurrect again. But they forgot. In the midst of all that was going on, they're not waiting for what he said to happen. They're actually acting out of their grief. In that moment, these women needed a divine reminder. Verse 4, looking up, they noticed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. If I saw an angel, I would be alarmed too. I'm not judging him here. And he says, don't be alarmed, he told them. You were looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen, and he is not here. See the place where they put him? And so the angel comes in and says, don't be alarmed. I know you're a little nervous. Can you imagine watching the man you had followed for 3 years crucified and then buried? I mean, they're in full shock and grief, and the angel comes and says, don't be alarmed. And that seems comforting, but if we're honest in this moment, if I was God, I would have looked at them and been like, get yourself together. I told you what was going to happen. It's really clear. I told it to you three times. I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect. But that's not what the angel does. He comforts them. He says, don't be alarmed. Brothers and sisters, I hope you can take some comfort in this. God did not use the angel to guilt and shame these women in their human weakness. He used the angel to comfort and remind them of what Jesus had said. And for us, If these women had seen Jesus and heard with his own words what he said would happen, and they missed it and had kindness, how much more grace is God going to give us for those of us who just believe what he says by faith and never seen him? He's going to meet us there. And he gives them some instructions. Verse 7, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you. You would have thought an angel, Jesus has told him, an angel's reminding him that at this point they would finally get it. Nope. Look at verse 8. And they went out and ran from the tomb because trembling and astonishment overwhelmed them. And they said nothing to anyone since they were afraid. In that moment of the resurrection, they run away, not on mission with God, but out of fear. They're astonished. They're overwhelmed. Literally, what I think of is they're petrified. They can't say anything. They don't know what to do. They're just exhausted in fear. They don't know what to do. And this is the reasons Mark's version of the resurrection, I think, can be incredibly helpful for us today. Because over and over in the book of Mark, we've seen this reality that God demonstrates his power and humans really struggle to get it together, to believe, to understand what he would say. And for us in this morning, I just hope, even though it's Easter and we look good, that we would be honest enough to say, in our humanity, we're very weak. Even though we know we shouldn't, we struggle with sin. In our weakness, we wish some things about us could be made new. And we also struggle with disease and sickness and the fear of death that will one day overcome us. But they don't stay quiet and afraid. Watch this. 40 days. And when Christ was on earth, he wasn't there for 40 days, but when he was on earth, he appeared to 500 people. And that was impressive. They knew it. They touched his hands. They're like, yes, it's really real. But they were still a little afraid. But what we find out at Pentecost later on is that the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead and actually indwells all of us who believe filled the saints in those days. And all of a sudden, they understood the resurrection power and they were no longer afraid. They spent their lives, their very lives, spreading the gospel to the known world of the time. And the very fact that today in Ankeny, Iowa, we're sitting in this room is the belief that these brothers and sisters understood resurrection power. And here's the reality. Jesus is the resurrected King. And its power, if its power met the disciples and let them spend the rest of their lives, even though they were fully weak, how much more should it meet us today in our own weakness? Because, listen to this, if you're going to write something down, write this down. Resurrection power is the only hope for human weakness. Resurrection power is the only hope for human weakness. So I want to try to help this morning, because often when I think back at the resurrection, I'm on 2,000 years ago, Jesus rose from the grave, but I'm over here living in Ankeny, Iowa today, trying to figure out how to honor the Lord Jesus and where, how do I connect what is historically true about the resurrection with my life today? And I want to give you a few very practical ways that the resurrection has everything to do with your life and how it invades your human weakness and shows its power. So the first one is this: you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. Romans 4:25, he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. In the death of Christ, what we see is all of our sins are put on Christ. And in the resurrection, what we're seeing is that Christ has power over those sins. And not only does he have power, that actually God accepts the sacrifice of Christ as complete to pay for all of the sins. And it's in the resurrection that we have that reality. And so in our human weakness, hear this, brothers and sisters. You are guilty of sin. You are. We all are. And not only are you guilty of sin, you're separated because of that sin from God, both now and for all eternity. That's what you bring to the table when it comes to God. That's your weakness. But the resurrection power says this, that there is now no guilt in sin because Christ paid for it. And not only that, you can have relationship with God both now and for all eternity. So let's apply this into our lives. I don't know in this room what the smallest sin is. And I can't understand what the most heinous crime or the heinous sin that would be among us this morning. But it doesn't matter because we're all guilty. And in your own self, all you can bring to God is that. But in resurrection power, you can be forgiven. And some of you are rejoicing because you know that's true. And some of you are saying, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. And in your human weakness, I don't. But I know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and it can overcome it because resurrection power is the only hope for human weakness of your sin. And number two, you can be made new. You can be made new. Romans 8:11. It says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. Guys, in your human weakness, you are spiritually dead. Yes, your lung is breathing in and out oxygen. You're physically alive, but without Christ and in our own human weakness, we're dead. We're spiritually dead. And what's interesting is, in that spiritual deadness, we have no power over sin. I don't care how much you try to grab it, like, I'm gonna do better. In our human weakness, there's no power over sin. But when it comes to the resurrection, please hear this, brothers. We are made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old, it's gone. The broken, dead, spiritually dead person is gone, and see, the new has come. And not only are we made alive in Christ, we also have power over sin. Romans 6:11, so you too consider yourselves dead to sin. It no longer has power over you, and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we can be made alive. In our human weakness, guys, you know this, our society and our culture is preoccupied with a better version of ourselves. Better looking, better parent, better employee, better employer, better everything. How can I make myself better? And in fact, in our human weaknesses, advertising comes and tries to sell us all the time how we can be better if we just. And in your human weakness, guys, you're dead. You can't make a better version of yourself. But oh, listen, in the resurrection power, Jesus is not trying to make us a better version of ourselves. He's making you new. He's not trying to say, oh, I know you've messed up your life. I know you've banged in some stuff. I know you've wrecked it and there's some dents and I'll just grab a hammer and knock that one out. See if I can make it a little better. I'll put a little polish on it. No, he's like, your old self is gone. I'm giving you a new spiritual livelihood that you can live only in the power of the resurrection. He's making us alive. And listen to this. And because we're alive spiritually, sin no longer has power over us. You can now fight against sin, not because you're awesome, but because the power of God is inside of you and he's made you new, which can fight sin that is tempting us all around. Resurrection power is the only hope for human weakness to be made new. And third, you will receive a resurrected body. You will receive a resurrected body. 1 Corinthians 6:14, God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Guys, in our human weakness, we all face sickness and disease. This has been a year of sickness and disease, hasn't it? I've known a lot of people in COVID. I know people have been in the hospital because of COVID. I know people have passed away because of COVID. And even if COVID hasn't affected you, you know that because the power of sickness, that we have completely changed our society to make sure that sickness doesn't just completely spread. In our human weakness, we have no power. We can hopefully have a vaccine. We can hopefully have a pill for whatever you may be facing. But in our human weakness, we'll never overcome it. It's absolutely true that every single one in this room will be overcome by death because your humanity could never, ever conquer death. But in resurrection power, come on, this is 1 Corinthians 15. Where death is your victory? Where death is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sickness and death will be defeated in the resurrection. What we find is that death is actually just a doorway that we enter through, and we receive a resurrected and perfected body, and we will spend all eternity with God. In our own human weakness, you will die and be separated from God. But in resurrection power, we have a living hope that we will be resurrected. And so in your human weakness, if you're struggling with sickness, maybe you've been battling a sickness, a diagnosis. Maybe a disease has been spoken over you, and there's nothing you can do. Or maybe death is a reality to you. And if not, maybe there's someone in your life that death really is coming. It's near. In our resurrection power, we have hope. We may not be healed today, but if we're not healed, we have an eternal hope that we will be risen with Christ. And this body that is so weak with sickness and disease will fall away, because resurrection power is the only hope for human weakness of death. Resurrection is the home base for Christianity. It's our home base. It's the place where we find out who we are. This year, we've thought a lot about our homes, haven't we? This time last year, I literally watched Easter. I watched myself preaching sitting on my couch. It was really weird last year. So last year, we were staying at home. Many of you have been working from home. Some of you kids have been doing school from home, and can all the parents say amen that that's kind of done for a little bit? In fact, actually about this time last year, we had no toilet paper at our home, because we've just had a lot about home. But when I think about home, I think of, like, yes, the house, but I almost think of it like I thought of something on the playground when I was 10 years old and you were playing tag. Home base is where you were safe. And I don't know about you, but when I'm tired, I want to go home. When I'm sick, I just want to be home. When I'm done preaching my fourth Easter sermon, you need to know I want to go home and eat a good lunch and take a nap for the glory of God. Somebody say amen. Because home is a safe place, brothers and sisters. For Christianity, resurrection is your home base. It's where you're safe. It's where you can plant your eternal hope. I want to read this verse to you. It says this, great summary. Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Resurrection power is the only hope for human weakness, and it is our home base. You guys probably have noticed that we do a lot of video work at Keystone. And one of the tools we use in a lot of these videos is a drone for aerial photography, or aerial video. You would see it when you actually moved here. There was a picture of the FFA Center. If you see any pictures of our new land, it was taken by a drone. When we announced the church plant to Illinois State, we flew a drone all around Illinois State to get incredible footage. It's an awesome tool, but it can be a little dangerous. Point in fact, last fall, it was August, it was our Salt Company kickoff. We're at the park, right at the, where the band shell is in Ankeny, and Todd is flying this drone and getting incredible footage, and he's kind of going across behind the crowd. No one can see it, and it looks so awesome until, bam, it hit a tree. And then it falls down and is making all sorts of racket. It's incredible. And they're actually can be pretty dangerous. I mean, they're flying. It's basically like a missile with knives going around really fast. And it's usually around crowds. Like, this is a dangerous thing. I still don't understand why they won't let me fly it, right? They won't let me, like, guys, let me, no, Brent, you're not allowed to fly it. You're not allowed to fly it. But here's what we see. The shots that we see from those drones, absolutely beautiful. But it's a pretty fragile thing. Because winds come, and they're pretty light, and they're up in the like hundreds, even thousands of feet in the air, and the wind can blow them. It's also pretty dangerous because there's all sorts of obstacles, from trees to buildings to light. I mean, there's just a million places that you could fly one of those drones in, and they're honestly kind of complicated to fly. Maybe not for everyone, but certainly for me. The manufacturers have seen this because it's not a great idea to have a drone that would fall onto a bunch of people. And so they've created some safety features. Listen to these safety features. They call them return to home. And the drone's smart enough that it takes a GPS reading when it takes off, and it goes, flies, and gets all these great shots. And eventually, if the drone realizes, mayday, we don't have enough battery, and they're not flying me home, the drone will automatically not listen to the controller anymore, and it will return exactly where it took off, because it's like low batteries, we don't want to fall out of the sky, return to home. Another version of that is lost connection. So let's say that the drone reads the GPS, takes off, and maybe it's flown away by lots of wind, or maybe you get too far, maybe there's a technological failure, whatever happens. If it loses connection between the remote and the drone is smart enough to fly back and return to home so there's no problems. Brothers and sisters, our lives are beautiful but very fragile. We are tossed by the winds of sin. We are constantly bumping into barriers as we pursue God. And it's honestly very complex to navigate life and sickness and death and disease. It can be overwhelming for us. And here's what the resurrection does, is it's home base for us. And so I'm wondering this morning, many of you who know the Lord Jesus, you've put your faith and trust in him, and you would just come in on resurrection morning, on Easter Sunday morning, and just be honest enough to say in your human weakness, Brent, I have some low batteries. I've been fighting sin. I'm just tired, and I haven't been chasing after God. But you would be honest enough to say this morning that you have low batteries. And I would say, the resurrection is your home base. Return to home. For some of you this morning, I know that a lot of people come to Easter services. It can kind of just become a thing in our culture. And there may be some of you in this room who you at one point put your faith and trust in Christ. But if you're honest, that was a different season. In today's season, you've lost connection. You haven't thought about God. You haven't thought about what he would want in your life in a very long time. And if you would be honest, you would say, I've lost connection. I know who Jesus is. I've put my faith, but I've lost connection. And the invitation for you is, return home. Come home. And then I know that there's also some of you this morning that you've been flying around and the winds of life have destroyed you. There's some guilt for some of the sin in your life. and you don't know Jesus, and it hasn't been forgiven. Or maybe you have literally worked your fingers to the bone, trying to get yourself together, trying to be a better husband, a better child, a better parent. You're just like, I'm gonna try and I'm gonna try. And the winds are just taking you. You run into barrier after barrier. But you don't know resurrection power. All you know is your human weakness. And for you, the invitation is return home. I want to read to you how the Apostle Paul tells us to come home. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so maybe this morning for the first time, with a quiet prayer in your heart, you would say, Jesus, you are the King. I believe that you rose from the grave and you can forgive my sin. You can make me new and you can give me a resurrected body that would spend all eternity with you. Would you bow your heads? God, this morning, I pray that you would help us to be aware of our human weakness. And God, you would help us in a moment of vulnerability for those who have claimed the name of Christ. If we are just on low batteries because we've forgotten the beauty and the power of the resurrection, God, would you help us to return home to our home base where the resurrection power is our only hope for human weakness? Or maybe some that they've lost connection for a number of reasons. Help them to return home. And for those who are exhausted with life and have never been able to fix themselves, Jesus, help them to declare you as King and believe that the resurrection really happened and that they can be saved. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.